All right, open your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. You know, I got to tell you a blessing. You know, a great blessing is, you know, when it got really, really cold, I learned an important lesson. And that is, it's not a good idea to grill outside. Amen. Now, and I dressed up really warm, but I went out there and, you know, I like to cook things on low, let it cook for a while. And usually my grill can get up to about 300 degrees if I keep it on low. That's not true when it's minus 30. Amen. I mean, it was barely making it past 210. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to be out here forever, you know. Learn an important lesson. Let that be a lesson to you. Don't grill when it's 35 below. All right. Joshua chapter 7. Look, if you would, starting at verse 16. Joshua chapter 7, verse 16. It says, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. He brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you'll speak to us this morning. Lord, that's the reason we're here, Lord, to not only worship you and give our thanks, Lord, and to praise you, but also to hear from you, Lord, through your word. And Lord, I pray this morning that all of us will have our ears open, our hearts softened to your word. And Lord, if there be any secret sin, Lord, in our lives this morning, Lord, help us to see the need to confess that to you. And Lord, I just pray you'll give us conviction now, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, by the time you get to the events here that happened in this chapter, Israel had just gotten victory over the city of Jericho. If you remember, the Israelites marched around Jericho for 6 days without saying a word and went back home. And then on the seventh day, they marched around and the most heavily fortified city, really, in the ancient world at that time. They marched around it six times, and on the seventh time, they when they finished the circle, they blew the trumpets, and the people shouted, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Now, we pretty much all of us have read this story. We understand what a great feat that was. We also understand that it was the Lord who gave them the victory because, quite frankly, Israel didn't do anything. They never fired a shot. The Lord did it all, okay? And so they got victory. But before that victory there in Jericho ever came, God had given a specific instruction to Israel concerning the spoils of that city. He said back in Joshua chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, he says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And what he's saying is this. He's saying that when you go into Jericho, those spoils that you're going to find, keep your fingers off of them. They belong to the Lord. That's what he's saying. Now, that's a great thing. That's a teaching. That's a great principle that we need to remember is the Lord has always wanted the first fruits. Okay, that's what he's always, the words, the first city, it belonged to him. The spoils belonged to them. But then after that, they could take the spoils of anything they want. But the first fruits always belong to the Lord. And that hasn't changed even since the Old Testament. The Lord still wants the first fruits of everything that he blesses us with. That's what he wants. And so that's a principle that's even true to this day. But what he was saying was that they were not to take any of those spoils there in Jericho after God had given them the victory. They were to give those spoils to the Lord. And so after the walls fell down, obviously there was much disorder as the children of Israel marched in and mopped up. And during that time of disorder, there was a particular Israelite named Achan. And Achan was looking in one house, and he saw beneath that rubble, and he saw the beautiful colors of this Babylonian garment, and he realized that it was very valuable. And then beside that, pretty close to it, he saw 200 shekels of silver sitting there. And then beside that, he saw the gold of 50 shekels weight. And Achan remembered what God had said, but he looked to the left, he looked to the right, didn't see anybody else standing there. So he grabbed those items and he went to his tent. He dug a hole in the ground and buried the garment, the silver, and the gold in order to hide it from others, so he could take it with him as they marched on, so that he would have a little bit extra cash. You know, maybe he could sell it later on, and so he could be ahead of everybody else and have that much more spoil. And I could just imagine after he sneaked past everybody and finally got those items in the tent, got them buried without anybody seeing him do it, that he laid down on his mat and he probably said, "Phew, I got away with that one. Nobody saw me. I'm set for the rest of my life. I'm going to be independently wealthy. I've got all the money that I need for the rest of my life. Boy, I got away with it. Nobody saw it." And then the next day came, and it was a time that Israel was to go to war with this itty-bitty town of Ai. Now, Jericho, as you read in the Bible, is a very heavily fortified city. I mean, the walls were so big that they could run chariots on top of the walls. That's how thick that these walls were in Jericho. But they got victory over Jericho. I mean, those walls came tumbling down. But now they're going out here, and they're going supposed to fight the little tiny town of Ai. And really, after having the victory there against Jericho, to then go up against Ai would probably be like, you know, after beating the Dallas Cowboys, you go play some Sandlot football team somewhere and lose. And that's kind of what happened. I mean, after they got the victory there in Jericho, they go against the Ai. They sent only 3,000 Israelites into this little town, thinking that the battle would be easy. It wouldn't take very much to get it done. But then, to their surprise, they were routed in that battle by the army of Ai. 36 Israelites were killed, and the rest of them came running back into camp like a bunch of whipped dogs. And so Joshua falls on his face before the ark of the Lord, and he says in verse 7, he says, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." In other words, Joshua here, his faith is shaken. He just saw them getting victory over Jericho, and now all of a sudden this little town of Ai defeats Israel. And he's saying, "Lord, what's going on? I mean, why did you bring us here? If little Ai can whip us, then what chance do we stand against all the rest of the inhabitants of the land? Lord, why did you even bring us in here?" And so that's the way Joshua was. He was very distraught. But then the Lord said in verse 10, there in chapter 7, verse 10, he says, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you." What God was basically saying here was this. He was saying, "Joshua, the problem is sin. The problem is sin. There, you have to deal with this sin." And God said, "Joshua, tomorrow morning, I want you to gather all the Israelites in the valley. And I'm going to go going along to each tribe, bring all the tribes in. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick out a tribe and all the other tribes can go home. And then after that, after I pick out the tribe, then I'm going to pick out a family. And then all the other families of that tribe can go home. And then after that, I'm going to pick out a household. And then all the other households of those families can go home. And then after that, I'm going to pick out a man. And that man's the one that sinned. And God did that. And Achan was singled out as the man who had sinned in taking the spoil. Now, it was only after Achan was caught and confronted by his sin that he finally came clean. And in Joshua 7:20, Achan replied, and here's what he said. He said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." This morning, I want to talk to you about the tragedy of a secret sin. Because what you're reading about right here when you read this passage is you're reading about a man who had a secret sin that he thought that nobody else knew about. And it cost him a lot. I mean, it cost him a lot. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you have a secret sin that perhaps you're thinking about this morning nobody else knows about, you better remember one thing. Everybody else may not know about it, but God knows about it. God knows everything. There's nothing hid before the eyes of the Lord. And so this morning, I want to encourage you as we look at this story of Achan, I want to encourage you this morning that you need to confess it before the Lord before it's too late. Before it's too late. Now, this morning I want you to look at, first of all, the pattern of a secret sin. Believe it or not, every time that we sin, there's a pattern to it. Okay? It's the same pattern over and over and over. And every sin follows this pattern. In other words, there seems to be a common process that takes place when it comes to us committing this a secret sin. There's a progression of a pattern that follows. And we see it when we see Achan here in verses 20 and 21 after he got caught. Notice the pattern of the secret sin. And I'm just telling you that if you got a secret sin this morning, you're in this pattern as well. The same thing happened to you. Look if you would at starting at verse 20. It says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done.'" Now watch. He says, first of all, "When I saw," when I saw. He said, "I saw the gold, I saw the Babylonian garment, I saw the silver." Now, really, if you think about it, just merely seeing those things was not a sin. But it can sure lead to sin. Amen? I mean, just simply looking at something and letting your eyes glance across something, there's nothing wrong with that. But it can lead to sin, and that's what happened with Achan. As he was walking along after the victory over Jericho, he sees the gold and the silver and the garment. And he just thought to himself, hey, all that, if he had said, "Hey, all that's the Lord's," and then said, "You know, that's the Lord's, and I'm not, I see it sitting there, I'm going to tell somebody else so we can take this and put it in the treasury like the Lord said," he would have been okay. I mean, just simply looking at it and seeing it sitting there, that certainly was not a sin. The problem is when you look the second time, and then the third time, and start to say to yourself, "What if?" Now that's when the problem starts. It's not the first look that gets you in trouble. It's that lingering look, that second, third look. If Achan had just merely glanced at stuff and said, "Well, there it is," and just gone on, that would have been no problem. But he said he started off and the pattern was, "I saw." And then it moves to the second step of the pattern. Look at verse 21. He said, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them." So Achan went from "I saw" to "I coveted." Now, to covet something means you want something so desperately that you're willing to do just about anything to get it. But the 10th commandment says this. It says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." That's what Achan did. He looked, but then he had a desire. He said to himself, "I want that for myself." And that's the way sin works in our lives. There's a temptation there that when we look at things and we look at things too long and we start to think to ourselves and then we start to want, we start to covet those things. And when we look, that presents the opportunity to do something wrong. And then when you're presented with that temptation, the next step that you say is, I want that. Then it becomes lust. Then it becomes sinful desire. Then it becomes coveting. So Achan went from I saw to I coveted. And then he went to the third step of the pattern for the secret sin. Verse 21 again. He said, when I saw among the spoils a good Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them. So he said, I saw, I coveted, I took. That's the disobedient act. He disobeyed the word of the Lord. Now, some people believe that Achan didn't commit the sin until he actually put his hands on those things and stole them. But according to what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, the sin was already committed before the action ever actually happened. He committed the sin before he actually reached down there and grabbed them. A lot of people say, well, the moment he took them, that's when he sinned. No, the sin actually happened before that. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5:28. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And what that's saying is this. The moment that you have the coveting part, just simply looking is not necessarily a sin, but the second you look too long and you start to get to that point where you say, I want that, I covet that, at that point, now you've messed up. And then once you actually grab it, or once you take whatever it is that you're coveting, or whatever it is you're lusting after, once you actually go through the motion and do it, then that's just adding another sin to it. Listen, the moment that you have that coveting in your heart, at that point, you were guilty at that point. That's what he did. And so he went from I saw, I coveted, I took, and then, look at verse 21 again. He said, when I saw among the spoils a good Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, when I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. He went from I saw to I covet, I coveted, I took, and then I hid. He hid it to where nobody else would ever see it. That's called a dishonest cover-up. That's pretty much the way that sin operates in everybody's life. You see something, there's nothing wrong with that, but then you say, well, I really want that. And then you actually do something that you shouldn't do, and then you find yourself having to lie to cover it up. Now, that's a pattern that's followed throughout all the Bible, and even unto this day, it's the same pattern that we have. How many of you, I'm not going to ask how many of you, all of us have done it. How many of you, without raising your hand, can say this morning that you have had to lie to cover up something else? I'll tell you this, you ever notice that one lie leads to another? You lie about something, then you have to lie about lying about it, then you have to lie about lying about lying about it, and on and on and on and on. That's what we do. We always try to cover things up rather than having them exposed. That's the pattern followed throughout all the Bible. If you remember, in fact, turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to show you that even when it comes all the way back to the very first sin, it was the same exact pattern. Same exact pattern. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. That's always the pattern. In Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Now this is a story about Eve when she's being tempted by the devil to eat the fruit. She's already fallen. She's already eaten the fruit. Adam's already eaten the fruit. And so the Lord here is confronting Eve. Remember, he started confronting Adam. And Adam blamed it on Eve. Pointed over here and says, the woman thou hast given. But then he confronts Eve, and it says in verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw it. Hey, that sounds pretty, that sounds kind of like Achan over there. The first thing he said was, I saw. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, well, there's your coveted, desired to make one wise. Then notice the next thing it says, she took of the fruit thereof. Well, that's the same thing as Achan. I saw, I coveted, I took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So there we see she saw, she coveted, she took, but now drop down to verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know what they were trying to do? They were hiding from the Lord. They didn't want to be seen. Hey, there's your pattern right there. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. Every secret sin has the same pattern. Every secret sin. And so the same thing, if you think about it, the same thing was true with King David. You remember when King David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, it began by him looking at her from the balcony. And then after that, he coveted her. After that, he took her. And then he tried to hide what he had done by having Uriah the Hittite killed. Exactly the same pattern over and over. Every time a secret sin is committed in the Bible, it's always the same pattern. And may I say to you this morning that every time you sin and you attempt to keep it secret, you do the exact steps of those patterns every single time. Every single time. You look, you covet, you take, you attempt to hide it. And it doesn't matter what your secret sin is. It's the same pattern. That's the pattern of secret sins. But now I want you to see something else about a secret sin, especially in this story here of Achan, which is probably one of the greatest stories about a secret sin in all the Bible. A second thing about secret sins is this, and that is that there are always consequences of secret sins. There are always consequences. And obviously one consequence of harboring a secret sin is that eventually it will lead to defeat. Eventually it'll lead to a defeat. There they had conquered Jericho. But because there was sin present in the camp, they went out and they were defeated by the little town of Ai. Basically, what you're reading here is this. Once sin was in the camp, God was not going to give them victory anymore over anybody. How many of you see that? He's saying, listen, I gave you victory over Jericho, but now there's sin in the camp and you're not going to get victory over anybody. Not even this little bitty town of Ai. Little tiny nothing town, you're not going to even get victory over that. And if you think you're going to get victory over the towns after them, no way. You've got to get rid of the sin first or there will be no victory. That's what God was showing them when all of a sudden he allowed Ai to defeat them. Here's what Romans 8:37 says. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's true as Christians. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we ought to be living in victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when there's a personal sin in your life, you won't be any more a conqueror. You'll be living in defeat. God is not going to give you victory over anything if there is some secret sin in your life. You won't have victory over your temper. You won't have victory over any shortcomings that you have. You won't have victory over anything. If you're harboring some secret sin this morning, God will not give you victory. You won't have victory in your relationships. It'll be one Ai right after another. You'll be running in defeat. So if you're wondering this morning, you know, why am I not living a victorious Christian life? Why am I not getting the blessings of God like I've gotten before? Well, if you've got a secret sin in your life, you better stop trying to hide it and just go ahead and confess it before the Lord. Because if you don't, there'll be no more victories. And there'll be no more blessings from the Lord. Secret sins will bring defeat in your life. But not only that, secret sins also hurt others around us. The amazing thing about this account here of Achan was that it was just one individual who committed the sin. Really, if you look at it even deeper, his family was actually involved in it too. But God said, Israel has sinned. He said, Israel itself has sinned. There's sin in the camp. And 36 men died because of what Achan did. 36 Israelites died. You know, none of us live our lives in isolation like we think we do. Every time you sin, it's literally like a pebble dropped in the calm water and it creates waves. And those waves go somewhere. We think that we can sin secretly and nobody else be affected. But believe me, people are affected. And your sin and my sin will always hurt those around us. It hurts our family members. It hurts our friends. It hurts this church. Our secret sins do that. Not only that, but your secret sins also hinder prayers. Notice back in verse 6 that Joshua falls on his face before the Lord and begins to pray and ask God why he had allowed them to be defeated by Ai. And then notice what the Lord did starting in verse 10. It says in verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. What God's saying there is, get up. What are you sitting here praying for? There's sin in the camp. There's a problem. Let me ask you something. Do you have trouble praying sometimes? I mean, does it seem like sometimes when you pray that your prayers don't go any higher than this ceiling? Well, may I tell you, if that's you, maybe this morning, maybe you need to check your heart. Maybe you need to examine yourself and see if there's any some secret sin in your life. Maybe you're trying to hide something from the Lord. Psalm 66:18, the psalmist says this. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord is not going to answer your prayers, folks, if you're trying to hide the secret sin from him. I mean, can you imagine trying to hide a secret sin from God Almighty? I mean, can you, and then ask him to do something for you? I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's like a slap in the face to try to hide something from him. But God's saying if you have sin in your life and you're trying to hide it, you might as well not even pray, because I'm not going to listen to you. If you want me to listen to your prayers, if you want me to answer your prayers, you better address that sin. You better own up to that sin first. What a thing it is to come before a holy God and knowing that you're hanging on to some sin and trying to hide it, and then ask him to help you. May I tell you this morning, you need to deal with the sin in your life. You need to deal with whatever it is that you're trying to hide if you want your prayers to go unhindered. Harboring some secret sin leads to defeat. It hurts others around us. It hinders prayers. And then the fourth thing is this. That secret sin, it never remained secret. It never remained secret. Now, Achan thought that he was okay. He thought that he had gotten away with this whole thing. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. That's the truth, folks. I remember watching, one of the things I like watching is I like watching, you know, the FBI files and things where they go back and they investigate things. And you know, and they try to find out who did it, and they have cold case files and all these different things. And you know, and one of the things I've noticed is this, that a person commit a crime and think he's got away with it, but then like 15, 20 years down the road, somebody remembers something that happened, and somehow or another, it always comes back to where they get that guy. And they're like, how'd it happen? Just be sure your sin will find you out. It'll find you out. You say, what happens? You die first. It'll find you out up there before the throne of God then. Because God knows about it. Amen? And so your sin will never remain secret. Now, if you can imagine here, old Achan standing out there in the Valley of Achor, and let's say there are 3 million Israelites, and he's thinking, you know, they just got the victory, and all of a sudden they're going to bring all the tribes, and they're trying to find out who did it. Now, Achan knows that he did it. Achan knows where the sin in the camp is. He knows where it's buried. He knows all these things. But there's like 3 million Jews, and so Joshua, because God told him to, he says, okay, everybody, children of Israel, let's all meet. We're going to meet right here in the Valley of Achor, and we're going to go, all the tribes are going to try to find out who did it. And don't you know, they can sit there saying, boy, out 3 million people, I'll take my chances. They're never going to figure out it's me. Never in a million years. I mean, 3 million people. But then all of a sudden, Joshua says, okay, the Lord's spoken. All the tribes except for Judah can now leave. Now, I'd imagine that by this time, Achan's probably looking around. Man, all of them left but me, but the tribe of Judah. And then all of a sudden, he whittles it down even further. You know, he has the tribe standing there, and then all of a sudden, all the families of Judah was released except for the family of the Zarhites. And I could just imagine him starting to get a bit nervous now, because now it was 3 million. Now, then it went from the whole tribe of Judah, and now it's down to a family of the Zarhites. He's probably starting to get nervous. And then all of a sudden, of all the households of the family of the Zarhites, they're all dismissed to leave except for the household of Zabdi. And then Joshua went man to man in that household until he was standing there face to face with Achan. And Achan and his sins were exposed. Your secret sin will not remain secret, folks. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 17, he says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. This time of year, people cheat on their taxes. and they think they're going to get away with it. Be sure your sin will find you out. And sometimes the IRS will find it out too. Amen. Be sure your sin will find it out. Eventually, you'll be found out. Eventually, you'll have to answer for that sin. Are you sneaking around and doing things that you shouldn't do? Looking at things you shouldn't look at? You think you're getting away with it. But you know what? Your secret sin won't be secret for very long. You think that nobody will ever know? Bible says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. There will be no secrets, folks. There'll be no secrets. God already knows it. And it's all going to come to light one day. Now again, it was only when Achan was first confronted by Joshua that Achan decided to confess what he had done. But by then it was too late. In our text in Joshua chapter 7, look if you would at verse 24. It says, "And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned him them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." Probably one of the most tragic stories in all of the Bible. And it was all over some secret sin. Now I want you to think about something. The Lord had already told the children of Israel, I'm going to give you all of this land. I'm going to give you victory over all the people in this land. If you just do what I tell you to do, you're going to be able to live in this land of milk and honey, and you won't have to worry about being sick. You won't have to worry about any about taking care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure you're fed. The earth is going to give its increase. You're going to be blessed tremendously. And the Lord says, it's all yours except for just the spoils there in Jericho. What a petty thing it was for him to take that risk over the spoils of all the spoils that they were going to get, and he does it for a Babylonian garment, some gold and some silver. And you say, boy, I can't believe he'd do that. I can't believe anybody in this room would keep a secret sin from the Lord. And I guarantee you, whatever secret sin it is, why would you even risk anything by doing it? Why would you risk anything by keeping it hid? What's the big deal about confessing it to the Lord and repenting of it? I mean, think about it. If you know good and well that the Lord's not answering your prayers while you got this secret sin, why wouldn't you repent of it? Why wouldn't you confess it to the Lord? If you know it's going to affect other people in your house, in your household, or people in His church, why would you take the risk over something like that? Confess it to the Lord, repent of it, and move on. But the problem is we become so hard-hearted that we think always about ourselves. That's what Achan did. Achan, he was thinking about himself. Hey, listen, they got defeated by Ai and a man still didn't confess it. And he knew that God had already promised he'd give him the victory. He knew he was guilty, and he didn't care. I can just imagine him bringing back the bodies of those Israeli soldiers, 26 of them, and he's sitting there looking at them and saying, nope, still ain't going to confess it. That's the problem with us. So many times we know that we should confess our sins, but we want to hang on to that secret sin. We don't want to confess it, and we start to think only about ourselves. I'm just going to tell you this morning, don't wait to confess your sin to the Lord. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till the chastisement of the Lord comes upon you. Confess it now and repent of it now before it defeats you, before it hurts those around you, before it hinders your prayers, and before the chastening of the Lord begins. God already knows all about it, folks. He knows all about it. You just come clean. Just come clean. Let's stand.